From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress based on.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, original music by Killian Bray and a discussion about dating in the 21st century. But first, students at the Homewood Brushton YMCA Lighthouse After School Program interview Post-Gazette journalist Molly Bourne about her work.
Hello everyone, my name is Tyree. I'm 17 years old and I attend Westinghouse High School, and today with me...
Your boy Kernady, 19 years old and I go to Westinghouse.
Tristan, I am 14 years old and I attend Westinghouse.
Nasheed Yates, I'm 19 and I don't attend school right now.
Today we are interviewing Miss Molly Bourne from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Welcome, Molly.
Thanks for having me.
Molly, where did you grow up?
I grew up in West Virginia. Oh. A town Fairmont, West Virginia, slightly outside. It's about 30 minutes south of Morgantown, where West Virginia University is.
So when did you move to Pittsburgh?
I've been here for almost 5.5 years.
When you first got here, was it like culture shock or were you just...
Pittsburgh was always the big city growing up when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. And we would come up for plays and sports events.
So like this is where you went for field trips?
Exactly.
Yeah, we go out to y'all for field trips.
Well, there's plenty to see in West Virginia. It's a really beautiful place. I'm happy to be from there, but I love Pittsburgh, so I'm glad I'm here.
Well, then welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, what made you sign up or want to be a part of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
That's a great question. Journalism jobs sometimes are hard to come by, and I love Pittsburgh. When I toured the newsroom to do my interview, I got a really good feeling about the place. And anybody, who wants to pay you to be a writer in your 20s, that's pretty awesome.
Wait, so you always wanted to be a writer?
I studied French in college. And then 3 years in or so, I think I really want to be a journalist. Reversed course a little bit. And then I went to journalism school after that.
As a journalist, is there a certain way you have to write information? Like, say you went to a scene, someone got shot, and like they can't find who did it or something like that. Is it like, do you have to like include race in that? Maybe how they were raised? Like, do you have to do stuff like that?
It's a great question. And we have those conversations in our newsroom all the time. So I cover Pittsburgh Public Schools now, but I used to cover breaking news, and sometimes that involved crime. So if you're reporting on a shooting and it's a fatality and there's a victim, you can get lots of different identifying information from the authorities at the county. But we generally report an age, town where the person lives or community where the person lives, name. Race wouldn't be relevant in that case. Although I will note that we have like a homicide map that we have on the Post-Gazette's website that maps like all of the homicides that took place in Allegheny County year by year. And we do, I believe, break down by race in that case. Why? Maybe just you can search by whatever qualifier you want to, if that makes sense. That was a great question, though. Thank you.
What kind of challenges do you face covering education in Pittsburgh?
I think it's a tough beat. I really do. And a beat, by the way, is like a subject area. So we have reporters covering City Hall, politics, business. You know, there's all different kinds of things. For me, it was tough because before that, I had covered county government. I have covered, again, crime, breaking news. It was totally new for me. And sometimes it means going to school board meetings. And that's not the most glamorous thing in the world, as you might imagine. But I think what was a challenge was that it was a learning curve. It's been a long time since I've been in school, and I didn't go to school here. I'm not from here. I don't know what it's like to be a student here, and I had to get a crash course. My educational upbringing was super rural West Virginia, not really any students of color, which I wish so much I had had a different experience in that sense, but it was where I was from, you know?
Which is more chaotic, the actual office where you work or the school board meetings?
If there's a breaking news event of some sort, and folks are on the phone and it's frenetic and crazy, then maybe the newsroom, you know, kind of like what you see on the movies. So school board meetings are generally pretty placid unless there's an issue that's
big.
Yeah, or people are especially concerned about. Yeah. And that has happened in my time there.
So I had a question because I write myself, and I wanted to ask if, do you ever write something right before you put it out? You might think maybe this won't have a great effect, or like maybe this won't give like the positive effect that you feel like it should have. It might spread negativity, but even though it's just the facts.
That's a really hard part of the job, is we have to tell the truth. And sometimes the truth is unsavory and hard. I think as long as everybody knows, people that you've interviewed for your piece, as long as they know what's coming and nobody's picking up the paper or logging on to the website and is shocked by what they see, you know, as long as people know what's coming, I think you've done your job, even if it's not positive.
Now, why is it important for you to get student opinions?
That's an awesome question. I don't know what it's like inside your school day by day. I've been there before a couple times, but I don't go there every day. You guys do. You are the eyes and ears of that place. And, you know, I can ask officials, but they're also not in the schools necessarily every single day. You guys are, and your opinion matters. How do you feel about being at Westinghouse?
People made it seem like the school's a lot worse than it actually is, because those are people who don't actually know what goes on inside the school.
And that's what's key about hearing from you guys.
Me, I'm glad to say that Westinghouse has kind of helped me. They've slowed down to be at my pace. Westinghouse has helped me make some good choices through the years.
Another question we have, how do you give back to the community?
I am a big sister through the Big Brothers Big Sisters program.
Okay.
I mentor a girl. She's 14 and she lives in Lawrenceville. We've been matched since November of 2015. I love her so much. She's really enriched my life. So one thing I wanted to ask you is, can you talk a bit about how the partnership with Wilkinsburg and Westinghouse is going so far from your view?
I've never really had any issues with anyone. So I don't really ask where anyone's from. If I like you, I like you. Well, then there you go. So it doesn't matter where you're from. As long as you're a cool person, we can be friends.
I mean, like the first 2 days, there had been like a big fight. Westinghouse versus Wilkinsburg, because Wilkinsburg thought they could take over and change it. Just recently, not too long ago, two girls had confronted me, and they were both from Wilkinsburg. They threatened to get all of Wilkinsburg on me, and I just shrugged it off and kept walking, because there was no point of fighting back. But other than that, it's been okay. I have lots of friends from Wilkinsburg School.
Thank you, Molly.
Bye.
Bleh. Leave that. I want that in the blooper room.
I got you.
Okay. Thank you, Molly, for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
And thank everyone for listening. This was the Lighthouse Podcast. And everyone say it with me. Lighthouse.
Lights out. Peace.
You just heard students from the YMCA Lighthouse After School Program talking with Molly Bourne about her career in journalism. Now, here's Akilian Bray, a 14-year-old student of Winchester Thurston School, with an original song.
The name of my song is Where I Go, and we are currently situated on the steps of the New Hazlett Theater on the north side of Pittsburgh.
I give so much of myself to everyone else, and you are wasting me away. Far too long I shielded you, you know I'm not bulletproof. I lost me when I feared I'd lose you. So here we are, you're standing next to me, but I'm standing all alone, both of us on guard. Where I am ain't where I wanna be, and you can't help me move on. Here I am looking for an escape, so get me out of this cage. It's time to let go and fly away. take these words and turn them into something more. Cause I am someone's, I am someone, I'm my own. I choose where I go. You are a pro at giving me false hope, and I think starting fights is better than feeling nothing. After each confession, I look to you for motivation, and you throw condescending blows my way. But now we've hit a fork in the road. I know where I want mine to lead, just not sure that's where it goes. Here I am looking for an escape, so get me out of this cage. It's time to let go and fly away. I will take these words and turn them into something more. Cause I am someone's, I am someone, I'm my own. I choose where I go, oh, oh. Can't you hear me shouting mayday, oh, oh. I'm sorry but I just can't stay, and oh, I know someday I'll find my own place. I am someone's, I am someone, I am my own. Find my own way. I'll find my own way. I'll find my own way. It's time to let go and fly away. I will take these words and turn them into something more. Cause I am someone's, I am someone, I'm my own. I choose where I go. I give so much of myself to everyone else. You are wasting me away.
Our final feature today focuses on dating as observed by students at Oakland Catholic, an all-girls high school in Pittsburgh.
This is Zoya Domashnev, and I'm a senior here at Oakland Catholic. Joining me today are fellow seniors Grace Dorfler, Isabel Schmaler, and Annie Trainer. Today we're going to be discussing dating in the 21st century, exploring the expiration of the classical definition of dating, and how it has evolved in the age of Instagram and Snapchat.
I'd like to hear about what you guys think about the trend of talking before actually labeling a relationship as dating.
In my experience, talking has never actually led to dating or anything more than that.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate and actually disagree with that, because When I think of talking with someone and I'm texting them every day, that's definitely something that our generation does. I don't think it's something like any of our parents could relate to, or our grandparents even. I think that when you do take that initiative to text someone every day, hang out with them, but you don't want to label it as a relationship, that's the first step toward maybe opening a discussion toward being in a serious relationship.
On the other hand, if you're close friends with somebody, you might text them every day also. So how do you define what's a close friendship and what's a dating relationship?
This is what I've witnessed, is going to like a party and a few days later, you see a few pictures pop up on your Instagram of people at the party. And you're like, oh, I met that person at that party. We interacted for half a second. I'm going to just follow them. And then that tends to lead to conversation. That's led to friendships for me. I guess the distinction is, where is it talking and where is it friendship? But that Instagram scenario were to happen and I actually hung out with the person afterwards, I think that would be more of a friendship. But if I spent more time texting them than I did hanging out with them, then that would be more talking, at least initially.
I also think that when the person you're talking to makes that step in wanting to meet in person, that's when you know, okay, this is going to lead somewhere. And for our generation especially, it's so mind-boggling that we have to make that distinction, like, oh, now we're going to actually meet and talk face-to-face. Maybe our generation needs to do a better job of making that distinction.
There is a kind of a lost art of dating. We do this Instagram talking, Snapchat, what are we? Do we have a streak? Do we not? Then we decide to meet in person. And I think that's kind of gross. Something else that comes with dating being a lost art and this whole talking thing is that we are really social as a generation. And I think one thing that comes with talking is the fact that it doesn't tie you down to a person. Dating is really kind of exclusive, going steady. And I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with that because I'm just so social all the time. I'm always talking to people. I'm always talking to new people. I have a hard time keeping up with friendships if the person doesn't remember to text me. I'm constantly moving forward. And I think that's the same for a lot of people.
I think that your point of our generation being very social is kind of on the opposite end. Our generation has the tendency to just text someone and not make that initial step of trying to meet for Starbucks or go on and study at the library. I think that because we do have our cell phones to have that conversation and be social, quote unquote, there's a whole new definition of what social is.
I agree. I don't know that I would necessarily label our generation as more social than previous generations. I might veer towards the opposite because I think you lose a degree of authenticity when you're texting. You're able to edit what you write before you send it, so you can have your punctuation just so or just the right emoji. And when you're meeting in person, you're forced to be more authentic.
Also, I feel that everything in our generation just changes so quickly. I feel like that makes people our age afraid of commitment. People can't imagine dating or being in a relationship with the same person for a long time.
I agree with that. I think because we are exposed to so much, we fear, it's FOMO. It's the fear of missing out, right? Like, we're scared that there's someone better is going to come along, or someone who you click more with, or someone who has more of the same interests as you. And I don't think we focus as much on an emotional connection with a person. We focus more on how is this going to look on Instagram, or how is this going to look when people are talking about it.
I agree with Grace's point of authenticity. And I think that this is just my personal preference, but I love it when someone will say, this is great, let's go hang out, let's talk in person. And that's something that I think a lot of people are trying to lean more towards, because when you are looking for a serious relationship, you do want that level of authenticity. But there are certain people who are just like, you know what, I can't get beyond the social media barrier and a technological barrier, which I think our generation really struggles with.
And I think once you factor in social media, the pressure builds, because social media projects this image of the perfect life that you have to live up to. And there have been studies that say there's no such thing as the perfect partner, that there's no he's the one or she's the one, that lasting marriages are about adapting to your partner's quirks and learning how to love them in spite of their faults. And so I think once you add in social media, it makes you feel like you should find the one. That gives you that sense of FOMO, when in fact there's not necessarily such a thing as a perfect relationship.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.